500 years, hymns that go back 300 years, and 95 is old. You were this high. What year were you born? He's 10 in 95. That is old. An antique. Holy cow. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. And whether you are at home or online or here in person, I'm so glad you're here. I was just thinking about how it is good to be together. And if you are watching online, we hope to be together again soon, that you will be comfortable, that circumstances will allow. And for those of you that are here, it is wonderful to see each other. Well, we are continuing with our hashtag blessed sermon series, really looking through what we call the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives this list of blessed are those statements. Really a common teaching, rhetorical style of the day. But Jesus, as with so much, twisted it on its head to say this is what kingdom living is about. As we go into that, though, I was thinking, you all know the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Or I think, as I heard someone say it once, do unto others before they do it to you. I'm not sure which way it goes. But the point is, you get what you give. And that is so true in today's beatitude that we're looking at. You get what you give. Let's jump right in and take a look at it. And if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Otherwise, I think you'll see it on the screen. But from the New Living Translation, Matthew chapter 5, again, Jesus speaking. He says, blessed. I told you I had old eyes. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You get what you give. Blessed are the merciful. Pastor James, in our call to worship, read a scripture that described God as merciful and how true that is, and we'll talk more about that. But it says, blessed are those of you who, living in kingdom culture, are merciful. And got me wondering, what does that mean? It's easy to say, be merciful or have mercy. But what does that really mean? So I went to a couple different sources this week. First, the dictionary. The dictionary defined being merciful or having mercy as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within your power to punish or harm. In other words, doing the opposite of what you could have done. And I would say that all of us are in relationships where we have the power to punish or harm someone. Maybe not physically or punitively so much, but relationally, shaming, breaking relationship. So doing the opposite of that, showing compassion or forgiveness. And then some of the biblical commentators, as I was looking into Jesus' words here, one of them defined it as mercy is compassion in action. Compassion in action. In other words, you can't just be merciful in your mind. It takes action. Or another commentator said, mercy is a generous attitude which is willing to see things from the other's point of view and is not quick to take offense or to gloat over others' shortcomings. A generous attitude. I love that image. So this is what the experts are saying, but I thought, well, what do most of us think of when it comes to mercy? How do I be merciful? So on Facebook, I put out to my friends, I said, tell me what you think of about mercy or merciful. And I've got some of their responses, and I appreciate those who responded. My friend Bo, he thought of mercy as not retaliating when somebody does me wrong. Cindy said that mercy is being forgiving to someone who wronged you, even if they don't ask for forgiveness. Nancy said that it's having empathy for someone in a difficult circumstance by showing that you care or helping in a merciful way. Connie said that mercy is a verb only seen in action. It goes back to what that commentator said of compassion in action. I like that. Debbie said that it's opening oneself up with understanding and choosing to forgive or overlook something done by another in a difficult circumstance, even if not deserved. Abby said it's easing someone's pain. I like that. Remember how the dictionary definition said someone that you have that's within your power to punish or harm? I think of what Abby said there of pain, which is not just physical pain. It is the ways that, any of the ways that we hurt, be it shame or guilt, suffering. Mercy steps in to break that cycle. And Lynn put it this way, the merciful are dependent entirely on God and are more concerned about God's kingdom and his work than their own situation. So all of these paint a fuller, richer picture around that same definition of mercy. It's really a selflessness that I'm hearing, a going beyond to show grace, to show forgiveness. It really reminds me of another scripture that I think defines what we've been talking about as well. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, probably a familiar passage to many, but that paragraph that starts with verse 4, remember it says that love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. It's not rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It's never glad about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. Mercy is love. We show mercy when we extend love, especially perhaps in circumstances where the world would say it is not deserved, it is not merited. So Jesus says, blessed are those of you who are merciful. In other words, kingdom living says, in a world that doesn't deserve it, be people who give mercy. How do I do that? I mean, we've defined it, we've danced around it, and it all sounds good. But how do I do that? How do you do that? I'm going to be honest. Mercy is hard for me at times. Many of you have been through our Discover You seminar with me, kind of a part of a step of getting to know who we are at First Church better. And so you remember, as part of that, we do a spiritual gift inventory where we have you respond to some statements, and through that, we are able to put into words how God has wired you, how he has made you, unique gifts and skills. And mercy is a spiritual gift. And many of the people at First Church, as we've done that inventory, have rated high on mercy or acts of mercy, which is marvelous. It means to me that these are people who will get in and do the stuff that nobody else wants to do. that they'll get in and be compassionate and gracious, that they'll help those in need, whatever need looks like. It's not my spiritual gift. One of my top spiritual gifts is prophecy, and that's not telling the future, but that is speaking the truth. And in my prophetic gifts, I can tend towards legalism and demanding that you take responsibility for your wrong. Not quite merciful. God uses both, don't mishear me. But some of you are better equipped, better hardwired for showing mercy. Now, all of us are called to it, and I want to be blessed, so I want to grow in mercy and being merciful. But how do I do that? You've noticed that God will bring circumstances in your life that get your attention. So I found it almost humorous this week as I was thinking on mercy and being merciful. I had a number of opportunities in my life that came up that called for mercy. So when I started to go down the other road, I felt like a hypocrite. But being merciful, I found, takes work, takes intentionality. It takes a character trait that is willing to say, no, while this may be the direction that is deserved, this may be what that person is asking for, this response is what the world says is fair, mercy says, but I'm going to go this way. I'm going to give what the world would say is not deserved. And so, going back to our expanded definition of mercy, it means that I show patience, especially with people or circumstances that can be exasperating. It means showing compassion. Compassion is a rich word that to me speaks of coming alongside someone. Maybe even being their strength when they have none. Not in a way that I'm better than you and I'm doing this for you, but in a way that says I'm on this journey with you. And while you're weak, I will lift you up. How do I live out mercy? By being a person of love. Go back to that list in 1 Corinthians 13. That's what kingdom love looks like. How do I live out that kind of love? A love which seeks to build up, not tear down. But maybe you say, in the face of mercy, wait a minute, aren't I going to be taken advantage of? Aren't there going to be people, they don't deserve mercy, they've wronged me. Or there's going to be people who think I'm a pushover, that I'm soft, that I can be taken advantage of. Whether it's in their wronging you in a relationship or taking food and resources that really they don't need. Won't I be taken advantage of? Yes. And that's okay. Because God didn't call us. He doesn't say, blessed are the people who are treated fairly and do exactly what is deserved. God didn't say, blessed are those who are never taken advantage of. God instead sent his son who was persecuted, killed, exploited, abused. So yes, the merciful will be taken advantage of. But I would sure rather be taken advantage of being merciful than be taken advantage of being stingy
or greedy or prideful and somebody takes from me. Best example for me in this, when I was pastoring in Alaska, we wanted to reach out to those in our neighborhood who had food insecurity. We started a food pantry ministry where people could come and get food supplies. And there are those who would say, there's people working the system. They just go from food bank to food bank. They've got more than they need. And I said, yep, there probably are. But in this time, in this moment, in this place, God has called us to feed the hungry. Not to be the food bank police who make sure you only have one can of beans because that's all you deserve. If I'm going to be taken advantage of, I'd much rather you take advantage of my generosity, of my love, of my mercy, because those are things that I don't want to be in limited supply. So yes, you will be. But don't worry about it. So I've got an assignment for you. If you're here in person or if you're online, I want you to, if you're able, write this down. I know that in the sanctuary we don't have the notepads and the pens anymore. But the assignment is to fill in these blanks. This week, I will show mercy to blank, or I will show who, fill in a name there, mercy, by blank. Now, we don't know all of the circumstances that will come up this week, but maybe you already have in your mind that coworker, that spouse, that family member, that neighbor who is a little challenging. So this week, God equip me to show Bill. And it is true, Brother Bill, may I show you mercy. But I'm using that name. I want to show Bill mercy by, and have a plan. How are you going to do that? Have a specific plan. How can I show Bill mercy? Maybe it's by at work, even when he uses the last of the coffee and doesn't replace it, I will show Bill mercy by making a new pot of coffee and not grousing at him. Or I will show Bill mercy by asking how his kids are doing, because I know he's stressed out by the circumstances at home. Or I will show my neighbor Bill mercy by raking not only the leaves from his tree that blew into my yard, but the leaves in his yard. My hunch is that most of us could fill in this sentence because there's already somebody in our mind, somebody in our life who challenges us. And how can I show kingdom love? How can I show mercy to them this week? Maybe it's something you've been doing all along. Again, don't confuse mercy with enabling or with sweeping under the carpet. But it is an act of love, an intentional act of compassion. How can you show that this week? Have a plan. Because God blesses those who are merciful. But what does he bless them with? He says that it is those people who will receive mercy. So we've talked about what is mercy, how do I live it, but we also have to look at the second half of the verse. How do I receive mercy? Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's the harder part of this equation. Many of us are good at giving, but receiving is very hard. I don't want to be the one who needs your mercy. I don't want to be the one who has a physical need. And so for many of us, receiving is actually harder than giving. But think about the equation. In order for somebody to give, somebody's got to receive. And there will be times, if not this week, in the months or years ahead, where you need to receive mercy. How do we do that? I think part of it is lowering our pride. Whether it's receiving mercy, it's receiving a cash handout, it's receiving labor assistance, whatever it is our pride that makes it hard for us to receive. Oh, I don't want to be weak. I don't want to look weak. No, in kingdom living, it's about genuinely loving and caring for one another. You don't have to be the strong, brave knight who is always on the giving end. Let others be blessed as they show you mercy. So recognize your need for it. Recognize your need to be forgiven, to be treated with compassion. I'm talking to myself here, and my hunch is that it's true for some of you. There's stuff in life I need to be forgiven for. I know this seems totally impossible, but there are times that I hurt other people. With my words, with my actions, with my apathy or unintention. You filling in the blanks? There are times that I hurt people, and I need to be forgiven. And for someone to forgive me, it is an act of mercy on their behalf because I don't deserve it. There are times that I need compassion where I'm hurting or suffering or struggling. And maybe I'd rather keep those needs private. But in so doing, I deny someone else the opportunity to be blessed by God as they show mercy. So make those needs aware so that I can receive mercy. And we've been talking primarily about mercy on this plane from one to another. But how do we receive God's mercy as well? Like I said, Pastor James read a scripture, and of course this is throughout scripture that God is merciful. That's why it's a kingdom value. That's why this is a character trait that he calls his people to exhibit, because he himself has it. God forgives us when we do not deserve it. God shows us compassion when we do not deserve it. God, who has the power, going back to our definition here, to punish or harm us, so often chooses instead to show us forgiveness, compassion, healing, his love. We can sing songs about it, and we can say, yes, God's merciful, but when it comes down to the day-to-day, am I willing to receive God's mercy? Or is that somehow a sign of weakness? Oh, it's really those people who need God's mercy. Nope, even if I look good, I say the right things, I come to church at the right time, I still need God's mercy. Otherwise, Jesus' death on the cross was for nothing. I need God's mercy. And so how do I receive that? Again, I lower that pride barrier and say, God, what I really deserve is to be cast out of your presence forever. What I really deserve is to bear the consequences of my own stupidity and actions. But God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for not giving me what I do deserve so often. Receive God's mercy. And just as being merciful requires an intentionality, a choice to not go one way but to go another, receiving mercy requires an intentionality. Not to sit back passively and say, oh yeah, that's great, God forgave me, God. No, it requires an intentionality. God, I receive your mercy. Or even Bill, I receive your act of mercy. Maybe you don't say it that way, but thank you, Bill, for raking up the leaves. That was so kind of you. And I'm sorry that my tree blew all over your yard. Do not take mercy for granted. Be intentional to give it, and be intentional to receive it. So I gave you one homework assignment. This week I'm going to show mercy to who by how. Well, I got another for you. Fill in these blanks as well. This week I will seek to receive mercy offered by who? By doing what? Maybe you're that turkey at work who leaves the coffee pot empty. And rather than getting defensive and angry when everybody points it out to you, this week I'm going to receive mercy. When Bill replenishes the coffee and I notice it, I'm going to thank him. Or this week, I'm going to be intentional to receive God's mercy by living free of the guilt and shame that would, by logic, come with my wrongdoing, excuse me, my sin. Instead, I'm going to receive his mercy by being free of that. Because that's what God's desire is. When I cling on to that guilt and to that shame, what I'm really doing is denying God's mercy in my life. So two tasks for us to make this concrete, and hopefully to make this a character pattern that for many of you is easier than it is for some of us. But all of us, if we're going to be kingdom citizens, are called to live out this very character trait of God himself, to be merciful. And as we do, he's going to bless us. He's going to pour out mercy in our lives from him and from one another. Hashtag blessed, not quite what you thought it would be. There are those in this world who can be quick to demand mercy, but we do not live in a merciful society. We live in a society that likes to point out blame and faults, to criticize, harass, grind people up, blame, label. What would it be like for us as kingdom citizens to go a different route? Be merciful, and you will be shown mercy. Let's talk to God. God, thank you. Thank you first for your mercy. That's such a big concept that it is difficult for us to understand, to comprehend, but it is so simple at the same moment. You show us mercy when you don't give us what we do deserve, when you pour out forgiveness and compassion, when you pour out love when we deserve only judgment or separation. God, you bless the character trait of being merciful, a character trait that the world may say is weak, is prone to be exploited or abused. God, I, for one, would rather be a kingdom citizen than bound by the expectations of the world. So this week, may your Holy Spirit strengthen me and strengthen us to be merciful. Even from these exercises, we may already have people and circumstances in mind that normally are like fingernails on a chalkboard. They're grating to us. They're frustrating to us. But this week, may your Spirit strengthen us and equip us to act on this plan of showing mercy. Showing mercy to that person where we step into whatever the hurts and pains and needs and sins of their life are and go a different direction than what the world would say. That we might show love, patience, forgiveness, compassion. And they may never even know it. We don't want to show mercy so that they come and say, oh, thank you for being so kind to me. They may never even know we did. But we will know that we were faithful. That we represented Christ in that moment. But God, many of us, it's hard to receive. Help us to lower our pride, to recognize that we are no different, we are no better than those who need our mercy. Because as much as I dislike it, I hurt people, and I need to be forgiven. As much as I don't want to be weak and needy, I have hurts. I have needs. I need others to show compassion, to demonstrate love. So may we be intentional there as well to receive from you, to receive from others. Being kingdom citizens is not easy. It takes an intentionality to go a way that is different than what the world may expect. Oh, but it is so much richer. It is the path that is blessed. May we receive your blessing today and in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.